our little mini-series this morning in Ephesians chapter number 6. I want to thank Pastor Pease for the opportunity to come. Just thankful for the opportunity to preach and thankful for the meals and thankful for the accommodations. And a great hotel that he's put us up in. And I'm staying with my mother-in-law, so. but they are great accommodations, and the meals have been great. Looking forward to a great meal today. You know, here's the truth. A guest speaker can come in, and that's what you've had all week, can come in and feed you and preach a few messages, but thank God for a man who every single week feeds you fresh bread Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. And so praise God for your pastor. I'm thankful for Pastor Pease. Just thankful for his steady hand and his steadfastness. And pray that God will continue to bless him and continue to bless the church here. Ephesians chapter number 6, Friday night. We are preaching this series entitled Battle Ready. Battle Ready, and Friday night we looked at our superpower status. We said that there are treasured targets that the enemy's coming after. We would many times call them high value targets. They're treasured targets that he's coming after. We looked in Ephesians 5:18 all the way down through Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 9. Talked about the different relationships there, the different targets that the enemy comes after. We saw the treasured targets. We saw the adversary's attack. He attacks with an agenda, and he attacks with agents. He has an agenda. His agenda is to blind. His agenda is to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And so he attacks with an agenda, and he has agents. In verse number 12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And last 18 through 20, we spoke about battlefield communications. And the desire is that we would have a free flow of communication between us and not trying to be irreverent, but between us and central command. And by the way, I'm thankful that we have a free flow. We have the opportunity, as we saw last night, to go directly into the throne room of God, to the throne of grace. And we can go direct. I don't have to go through someone. You don't have to come through me. You don't have to go through your pastor. You can go directly to the throne room of grace. Now, there are things that hinder, aren't there? One of your verses on your prayer sheet last night, Psalm 66:18, if I regard iniquity in my heart, God's not going to hear, is he? And so there are things that hinder us. A wrong relationship with our spouse will hinder that free flow of communication. But the desire is that we would constantly be in contact with that one who can bring in the help when I need it. And so last night we looked at battlefield communications. We spoke about praying continually and praying confidently and then praying courageously. And I pray that we'll do that. Just as Daniel, the Bible says, opened his windows toward Jerusalem and prayed, I pray that we will pray courageously. By the way, what is the word courage? What is the biblical definition of courage? Faith in God's promises. It's not something we work up within ourselves. Courage is faith in God's promises. Daniel exhibited courage. Joshua exhibited courage. David exhibited courage. Paul exhibited courage because they had faith. Not because they were greater individuals than we are. They served the same God we serve. They exhibited courage because they placed their faith in the promises of God. And God's promises are steady, they're steadfast, they're unfailing, they always come to pass. And so we can place our faith in the promises of God and we can pray courageously. And then this morning, I want us to look Verses 13 through 17, that's where we're going to look this morning. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 13, the Bible says, wherefore? Wherefore? Okay, because of who we battle in verse number 12. It's not a carnal war. 2 Corinthians 10 tells us that. Our warfare is not carnal, the Bible says. Our warfare is spiritual. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against in high places. God says, wherefore? Wherefore take you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Again, there's that courage, taking the shield of faith. Faith in God's promises, that's where our courage comes from. Wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And so this morning, to look at a message, a lesson entitled Dressed for the Occasion. Dressed for the Occasion. When I was a college student studying accounting, I had to read a book entitled Dress for Success. That's an old book, and I'm dating myself, but I had to read a book entitled Dress for Success. And the purpose of that book was to help individuals to know how to dress for certain business activities, especially for an interview. And so we had to read that book. Our attitudes toward appropriate dress have really changed over the past two or three decades. Now, while all of those changes may not necessarily be catastrophic, I personally believe that the pervasiveness of the casual attitude toward dress has even affected what we're talking about this morning. The pervasiveness of the casual attitude about everything, really about the casual attitude about worship. I was going to preach a message, and Lord really led me here, but I was going to preach a message entitled Walmart Worship. That's the day in which we live. Most of our worship today is Walmart worship. That's the way we go about it. It's cheap, it's casual, and that's what our worship is today. But I believe that attitude has really crept into even our spiritual attitude toward being dressed for the occasion when it comes to the spiritual battle. For example, think about the American soldier. The American soldier has several different uniforms. He has a fitness uniform, he has a dress uniform, he has a service uniform, and he has a combat uniform. Lester Roloff used to sing a song. He was famous for singing the song, I Came Here to Stay. And one of the lines in that song states, it's a battlefield, brother, not a recreation room. And we need to be dressed for the occasion. When I go to the gym to play basketball with my boys, I put on a t-shirt, wind pants, and tennis shoes, and I go play basketball. But when I get ready to step on the spiritual battlefield, I better be dressed for the occasion. I better have my combat uniform on. When I go to do yard work, I may put on a t-shirt, jeans, and boots, and go do yard work, and I'm dressed for the occasion. But when I get ready for the spiritual battle, then I better be dressed for the occasion. I better have my combat uniform on. When we go to weddings, we may put on a suit and a tie, dress shoes, or maybe not, but some of us probably do. We're dressed for the occasion. We dress uniform. But when I step onto the spiritual battlefield, I ought to be dressed for the occasion. And I need to have my combat uniform on. And so that's what we want to speak about this morning. And really, I just want to look at, when we speak about that uniform being dressed for the occasion, I want us to speak really about two categories of that dress, or really two things this morning. I don't like to use that word things, it's very generic, but just want to give you two main points and then we'll develop those a little bit and look at some truths here in verses 13 through 17. Really, we don't have time to really develop tremendously these verses, but we're going to do our best this morning. So let's pray, ask God to help, and then we'll look at these five verses this morning. Father, we love you today. We're thankful for what you've done already in our hearts. We're thankful for the bread that you have fed us this week from the different men that have been here, Brother Fox, Brother Godfrey, Brother Browder. We thank you for those and how you've used them tremendously in the hearts and lives of your people here at Faith Baptist Church this week. And Father, we're asking for the same today. Father, we're asking that you would take your bread, that you would take your word, and Father, that you would feed your people today. Father, I pray that you would just remind us this morning. Father, this is a familiar passage, but the truth is we need to be constantly and very frequently reminded. I need to be frequently reminded that I need to be dressed for the occasion. And the truth is, Father, you know this better than we do. We are in a spiritual battle every single day. So whereas we may get up tomorrow morning and put our service uniform on, our work uniform, whatever that may be for each individual, as we put that on, we better put our spiritual combat uniform on as well. Father, we better be spiritually dressed for the occasion, because there are treasured targets that the adversary attacks. But Father, we have superpower status, and we should never ever forget that. Father, teach us and help us today. I pray that you'd help every Sunday school class. Father, I pray that you'd help our dear folks back home at Maranatha Baptist Church this morning. I pray that you'd be with Pastor Stark as he preaches today. I thank you for his faithfulness all these many years. I pray that you'd use him in a mighty way today and just help our folks back home. Lord, we commit the day to you. We pray for the friends that'll be coming here in just a little while, in just a few moments. Father, we pray that you'd use the preaching of your word. Father, if there'd be folks here today, and I have no doubt that there'll be some folks here today who need salvation. And Father, I pray that your word would pierce and would cut and would divide asunder. And Father, help individuals to see their needs today. And we'll thank you for what you'll do. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. I want us to see two things today. I want us to see the armor of the Almighty, and then we're going to look at the sword of the Spirit. The armor of the Almighty. The Bible says in verse number 11, put on the whole armor of who? Of God. And so I want us to see the armor of the Almighty, and then I want us to see the sword of the Spirit. The armor of the Almighty, first of all, protects us against deception. It protects us against deception. The Bible says there in verse number 14, in verse 13, it says, wherefore, notice this, take unto you the whole armor of God. There is this idea of getting dressed. There's this idea of putting on. By the way, in verse number 11, it says put on. And so there's this idea of taking. In verse number 17, it says, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit. So we are taking this on. We are putting this on, the armor of the Almighty. And first of all, we see that it protects us, this belt of truth. In verse number 14, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. And so the belt of truth, this first piece of armor, protects us against deception. Truth. The Bible says in the book of Jeremiah, and you don't have to turn there, but I'm going to turn there just real quickly and read in Jeremiah chapter number 9. The Bible says, oh, that my head were waters and mine eyes a fountain of tears, that I might weep day and night for the slain of the daughter of my people. Oh, that I had in the wilderness a lodging place of wayfaring men, that I might leave my people and go from them, for they be all adulterers, an assembly of treacherous men. And Jeremiah is called the weeping prophet, isn't he? He weeps for Judah. He longs for Judah to repent and come back to God. Verse 3 of chapter 9, and they bend their tongues like their bow for lies. And listen to this next phrase. But they are not valiant for the truth. But they are not valiant for the truth upon the earth. For they proceed from evil to evil, and they know not me, saith the Lord. Take ye heed, of his neighbor, and trust ye not in any brother. For every brother will utterly supplant, and every neighbor will walk with slanders. And they will deceive every one his neighbor, and will not speak the truth. They have taught their tongue to speak lies, and wearied themselves to commit iniquity. That belt of truth, our loins girt about with truth, it protects us against the deception from the enemy. The adversary attacks, doesn't he? He attacks with an agenda to deceive, to blind, to steal, to kill, to destroy. He attacks with an agenda. He attacks with agents. And it's the girdle, girt about truth. It's that belt of truth that protects us against deception. But if we're going to have that, we have to be valiant for the truth. We have to know what the Bible says. We have to study it. And then when we know what it says, we have to be valiant for it. There's a lot of Christians who know what the Bible says, but they're not valiant for it. There's a lot of moms and dads who know what the Bible says about rearing their children, but they get a little pushback from their family members, and they start to capitulate to saying, you know, maybe I ought not discipline my child the way the Bible says. We are in the year 2022. There are different methods. That's what the world says. By the way, maybe your pastor has mentioned this before, I don't know, but can I say this, and you probably already know this. The disciplinary method of timeout is not in the Bible. It's not in the Bible. Now, you may use it as in addition to what the Bible says, but it's not in the Bible. One of our friends, he and his wife, they used that phrase time out. If they were in a grocery store or Walmart or whatever, and their kids were misbehaving, they would look at their child and say, "Do you want a time out?" But their children knew, or they had trained their children to equate a timeout with a spanking. And so to their children, a timeout meant, I'm getting ready to get a spanking. And so when they're out in public and they said, "You want a timeout?" They knew that meant, I'm getting ready to get a spanking. But we get pressure from the world. And by the way, the devil's good. The devil's crafty. The Bible uses the word wiles of the devil. He's a trickster. He's crafty. He's deceitful. And boy, he brings all these different things into our society, and he brings pressure upon the Christian to say, you know what? You know, maybe I should use this method, or maybe I should use that method, instead of just staying with the proven truth of God's Word. And we're not valiant for the truth many times, because we're afraid of what family's going to say. We're afraid of what friends are going to say. We're afraid of what the culture's going to say or society's going to say. Or by the way, we might even be afraid of what people in the church are going to say. We're not valiant for the truth. And so first of all, that belt of truth, our loins girt about with truth, it protects us against deception. The armor of the Almighty. We don't have time this morning, but boy, Psalm 119 is just a great book. I mean, a great chapter, excuse me, in the book of Psalms, Psalm 119, just a whole discourse, 176 verses, the Bible speaking about itself. Psalm 119 would be a great chapter to read probably every week of your life. It speaks about the Word of God. It's truth, and it protects us against deception. The Proverbs, truth, which protects us against deception. So, first of all, this armor of the Almighty, it protects us against deception. Secondly, it protects us against defilement. It protects us against deception. It protects us against defilement. Notice what the Bible says in verse 15, the second piece of that armor, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. It covers the heart. The breastplate of righteousness. Take your Bibles, if you would, if you can. Hold your place here in Ephesians 6, and would you turn with me to the Old Testament, to Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4. Solomon, throughout the Proverbs, especially really the first, he's teaching his son. He's trying to teach his son. He's trying to get his son to listen to his words. And chapter 2, verse 1, he says, "My son." Chapter 3, verse 1, he says, "My son, forget not my law." Chapter 4, verse 1, "Hear ye children the instruction of a father and attend to understanding." Down in verse number 22 of chapter 4, verse 20, he says, "My son, attend to my words. Incline, bend your ear, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they, my words, the word of God, for they are life and health to all their flesh." And then verse 23, you probably know this verse. "Keep thy heart with all" what? "Diligence. For out of it are the issues of life. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee." Look, that breastplate of righteousness, I know, look, spirit, salvation righteousness is when I come to Christ and He imputes His righteousness upon my account. He gets rid of my sin. He takes my sin off of my account and He puts His righteousness on my account. I cannot be saved by my own righteousness. But listen, the Bible tells me that I ought live right every day. And I ought live by the righteous principles of the Word of God every day. And that breastplate of righteousness, first and foremost, speaking of salvation, but then also daily putting on that breastplate of righteousness and simply just doing what God tells me to do is going to protect my heart. "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." You've heard the illustration. If you were this morning, if we were to take an orange this morning and squeeze an orange, what would come out of it? Orange juice. Orange juice. Okay, if we took each other this morning and squeezed us, or as my Tennessee mother would say, squeeze. Any of y'all say squeeze? Mama, by the way, I grew up saying it because that's when my mom and dad said it, but my wife taught me better because she has good grammar and I don't. But if we took each other this morning and squeezed each other, here's the question, what would come out? You ever heard somebody say something and they said, "Oh, I didn't mean to say that. That's not me." Athletes and entertainers and superstars, they say things sometimes and they say, "Well, that's just not who I am." It probably is who you are. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. That's why the Bible says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." And that armor of the Almighty protects us against deception. It protects us against defilement. Real quickly, number three, it protects us against distress. What's the third piece of the armor? The Bible says, verse 15 in Ephesians chapter 6, "And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of" what? "Peace." What's the opposite of peace? It's turmoil. It's sorrow. It's distress. The armor of the Almighty, it protects us against deception and defilement, but it protects us against distress. You're here in Ephesians 6. Would you turn back just a little bit to the book of Romans, Romans chapter 5. By the way, this is where we'll be this morning primarily in the message this morning. I know you have been, but I hope you'll be praying for that. I'm expecting visitors to be here. I don't have any doubt there will be some folks here who need to be saved this morning. The Bible says in Romans chapter 5, verse number 1, it says, "Therefore," just coming out of Romans 4, that's speaking about, he uses David and Abraham, the patriarchs, and he uses them to show the Jew, really to show everyone, but especially the Jew, that look, you're not saved by your works. You're not saved because you're a Jew. You're saved by faith, just like David and Abraham. Their faith was counted as righteousness. And so coming out of that chapter, in chapter 5, verse 1, he says, "Therefore," Being justified by faith, we have what? Peace. Peace with God and the peace of God. So number three, that armor of the Almighty, it protects us against distress. Let me say this and we'll move on to the fourth piece. Way too many Christians today, and I know all of us probably fall into this trap sometime because we don't have the armor on, but way too many Christians today living in distress. We don't have to live that way. We have superpower status. We fight and we live and we serve in the power of Almighty God. Now, the problem is we're living in our flesh. And because we're living in our flesh and we're living on feelings and we're living on emotion, we're constantly in distress. We're constantly up and down and up and down. One day we're good, the next day we're not. One day we're good and the next day we're not, because we're living based upon our circumstances instead of based upon the Word. It protects us against distress. Fourthly, it protects us against the darts. Verse number 16, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you should be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Remember what we mentioned just a moment ago? You know, the devil comes and he says, Mom and Dad, why don't you use this method to train your kids? That's a fiery dart. Hey, husband, we mentioned this the other night, but hey, husband, your wife's not giving you the attention that she used to. Wife, your husband's not giving you the attention that he used to. Teenagers, I know we don't have teenagers in here this morning, but if you have teenagers at home, the devil's going to come to your teenager and say, hey, your mom and dad hate you like no one else because look at all the fun they're keeping you from. We laugh at that, don't we? Because that's foolish. Because we know that's a ploy of the devil. But you know what? That's what the devil does. And you know what? Teenagers believe that sometimes because in their heart they feel it. Because here's what they see. They see their friends supposedly having all this fun. And then they see their mom and dad who, man, we've been at church every night this week. You know what that is? That's a fiery dart of the wicked one. That's a temptation. That's a seed of doubt, a seed of discontentment placed into the heart of a young person. And it is the shield of faith. And by the way, even our teenagers have to take the shield of faith. And the teenager has to go to the Word of God and say, okay, in Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 1, it says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And it says in verse number 2, I need to honor my father and my mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee and thou mayest live long on the earth. Even a teenager, with all of the temptations that they are bombarded with every day, the temptations of the fashions. My wife, last Sunday, we had one of our little van girls, and actually I think it may have been Wednesday night or Sunday, I don't remember, but she asked my wife, she's probably only 8 or 9 years old, and she asked my wife, she said, you know who Lady Gaga is? And my wife was like, yeah, I know who she is. And the little girl said, she said, I love the way she dresses. And my wife said, I don't. She dresses very immodestly. And this little girl just looked at her like, what? You know, that's a fiery dart from the wicked one. And our kids are so bombarded with the fiery darts from the wicked one, whether it's with clothing or music or just the things that flash across their eye gates on a daily basis. And they, even at a young age, our junior kids, our teenagers, us, our young adults, our young couples, they have to take the shield of faith. Hey, listen, when the Bible says that you ought to give the tithe, you do that by faith, because the devil's going to come along and say, hey, that 10% and above that you give to the church, whoo, what could you do with that? What new toy could you buy? Hey, do you see that truck that your coworker drives? You could have that if you didn't give all that money to the church. And so men, ladies, we have to take the shield of faith too. We have to be courageous, having faith in God's promises that He says, When you give what's really mine anyway, because it's all mine to begin with, but if you'll give me that portion that I have asked, I'll take care of you. Hey, why don't you prove me and see if I will not open the windows of heaven? Faith. It protects us against the darts. And then lastly, verse number 17 as well. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Verse 17, that first part, the last piece of the armor, the helmet of salvation. The armor of the Almighty, it protects us against deception, against defilement, against distress, against the darts of the wicked one, the darts of the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. But then finally, it protects us against the death blow. It protects us against the death blow. He says, and take the helmet of salvation. We mentioned this, I believe it was Thursday night, but let me read it again. 2 Corinthians chapter number 10. Where do many of our battles begin? Yes, I believe it's talking about salvation, spiritual salvation, but also believe it's speaking about, he's speaking to Christians here, he's speaking to believers. And so the helmet of salvation is that helmet that protects us, again, as the breastplate of righteousness. It protects us on a daily basis as we battle, as we combat the spiritual battle. Where do most of our battles begin? They begin in the mind. 2 Corinthians chapter number 10. That's why the Bible tells us in Philippians chapter 4, verse number 8. It says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. And 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3 says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Many of our battles begin in the mind. They begin in our imaginations. The devil plants seeds of doubt and discontentment. And again, we said last night, the devil's not omniscient. He's not omnipotent. He's not omnipresent. But he is deceitful. He does have his minions. Verse 12, he does have his principalities and powers, the rulers of the darkness of this world. He has all of those agents, as we said. That helmet of salvation, what keeps the enemy from striking that death blow? The Word of God, the truth. That helmet that protects when the enemy comes and wants to put imaginations in our minds. Let me ask you this morning, I just want you to think, how many marriages have been destroyed because a doubt or a seed of discontentment has started in the mind? And that marriage was struck the death blow. How many? I mentioned this either Thursday or Friday night, or excuse me, not Thursday night, Friday or Saturday night, that I heard this week that every two in every three marriages end in divorce today. Used to be one and two, now it's two and three. Seed of doubt, seed of discontentment. What makes an individual where there hasn't been any unfaithfulness, hasn't been anything like that? What causes an individual just to want to say, I'm done, I'm going to leave? Something up here. I'm not happy. My son made a statement a couple weeks ago, and it's a statement that probably all of us have made in some form or fashion, but I forget exactly the context, what we were talking about, but he made a statement. Actually, it was about an individual, something he had seen from a friend on a Facebook post. And my son made this statement. He said he got what he wanted. He lost what he had. And what he got didn't make him happy. He got what he wanted. He lost what he had. And what he got didn't make him happy. And how many individuals have said, you know, I'm just not happy anymore. I'm just done. How many husbands, how many wives? Not because of infidelity or unfaithfulness, but I'm just not happy anymore. Where does that come from? It comes from the devil. Because the Bible says in Psalm 1, blessed is the man. You can be happy. That word blessed there is the idea of happy, 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 thrice happy. You can be happy, but not when you're walking in the counsel of the ungodly. Not when you're standing with the sinners. Not when you're sitting in the seat of the scornful. The helmet of salvation that protects our minds, that helps us to cast down the imaginations, that helps us to bring every thought into line with the Word of God. Every thought needs to be squared and balanced with the Word of God. Every thought we have, we need to lay the Word. This is our level. And we need to lay this on every thought that we have and say, okay, is it level? Is it lined up with the Word of God? Is it square or not? And if it's not, we need to capture it and we need to cast it away. We need to cast it down, the armor of the Almighty. Then quick, I only have 5 minutes. The armor of the Almighty, the sword of the Spirit. Ephesians chapter 6. We could preach a number of messages on this. The Bible says in verse 17, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Real quickly, the sword of the Spirit. We see three things about the sword of the Spirit. The Spirit. Its superiority is declared. Its superiority as a weapon is declared. 2 Peter chapter 1 shows us that it is divinely inspired. Psalm 12 and Psalm 18 speak about how it's been refined, that every word of God is pure. We see it is superiority. Its superiority has been declared. There's no other weapon you can use greater than the Word of God. Its superiority is declared. By the way, sharper than all other swords, Hebrews 4. Two-edged sword dividing asunder. Sharper than any other sword. Its superiority is declared. Secondly, its skill is demanded. See, we can talk all day about how superior this is. I've told y'all, I'm from Tennessee, I have problems with words. We can talk all day about how preeminent this is, but that matters not if we don't know how to use it. Hey, a soldier can go into battle with a sword, or a soldier today can go into battle with an M16 or whatever the latest weaponry is. They can go into battle, but if they don't know how to use it, it's useless. It's vain. We can know that this is the most important thing in our lives, and it always comes back to this. It always comes back to the Word, but if we don't know how to use it, it's of no use to us. Its skill is demanded. We looked at Joshua 1:8 last night. We've got to study it, and then we've got to submit to it, and then we have to swing it. We have to study it, meditate on it day and night. We have to submit to it, observe, to do according to all that is written therein, and then that's when we're going to prosper. That's when we're going to have good success. We must study it, we must submit to it, and we must swing it. The skill is demanded, its superiority is declared, its skill is demanded. We have to know how to use this. We've got to sharpen it. By the way, how do things become dull? How many of you men right now you have a pocket knife in your pocket? A couple of you. How do knives, just pocket knives, how do they become dull? By use or by neglect? By use or by neglect. So either way, they need to be constantly sharpened. By use. You use them, it needs to be sharpened. So here's the truth. We need to be sharp in the Word of God on a daily basis. We have to have skill to know how to swing that sword. The superiority is declared. The skill is demanded. And then thirdly, the success is detailed. You go all throughout the Word. Success of God's Word, when we listen to it and submit to it, it is detailed all throughout the Word. Let me give you just a few. We've got 2 minutes. Let me give you just a couple. Actually, more than a couple. I'll give you all of them real quickly. Its success is detailed. First of all, it says that it shines in the darkness. Psalm 119:105. It's a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It shines in the darkness. It sings during my discouragement. Songs in the night. It sings when I'm discouraged. Thirdly, it strikes against defilement. Psalm 119, verse number 9, verse 11. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? Do you know the rest of the verse? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. That's verse 9. Verse 11, thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might sin against thee. The sword of the Spirit, it shines in the darkness. It sings during our discouragement. It strikes against defilement. It saves us from destruction. We read in Proverbs. You read Proverbs from 1 to 8. Solomon is trying to teach his son, especially about the strange woman. It saves us from destruction. And then we'll end here. Would you take your Bibles and go to Jeremiah? And this will be it. We'll be done. Jeremiah chapter number 15. The sword of the Spirit, its superiority is declared. Its skill is demanded. Let's know how to handle it. Submit to it. Swing it. And its success is detailed. It shines in the darkness. It sings during our discouragement. It strikes against defilement. It saves from destruction. I know you're not going to remember all that, and that's okay. But remember two things. The armor of the Almighty and the sword of the Spirit. If you're going to be dressed for the occasion for spiritual combat, that's what you need. You need the armor of the Almighty and you need the sword of the Spirit. And then finally, the sword of the Spirit satisfies our desires. Jeremiah 15 and verse number 16. Jeremiah said, thy words were found. Here's the man that's saying, hey, y'all aren't valiant for the truth. But notice what Jeremiah says. He says, thy words were found. And what did he do? He said, I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart. For I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. The success, its success is detailed. You will never go wrong. You will never go wrong if you'll submit yourself to the sword of the Spirit. You'll never go wrong if you'll fight your battles with the sword of the Spirit. It sings, it shines, it strikes, it saves, it satisfies. By the way, what did Paul tell Timothy in 2 Timothy 3:15? He says, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. Speaking about save from destruction. Thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to do what? Make thee wise unto salvation. It's the Word of God. It always comes back to the Word. It always comes back to the sword of the Spirit. So, here's the question. Are we dressed for the occasion? Are we dressed for spiritual combat with the armor of the Almighty and with the sword of the Spirit? Father, thank you for the time you've given us this morning. Father, thank you for these 3 days that you've given us and even for the service that lies ahead of us. Father, thank you for your word. Father, we can never exhaust it. Father, so much. Father, so many passages we could have preached from. Lord, I pray that this Ephesians 6 passage, I pray that it's been a help. Father, I just pray that you'd help us as Christians, as believers, to be battle ready. We live in an evil day. And Father, help us to stand and to have done all to stand. And Father, I pray that you'd help us to be battle ready. Father, help us to be courageous, to have faith in your promises. And Father, help us to get up every morning. And when we put that physical outfit of clothing on, may we be reminded, hey, I have a spiritual outfit I need to put on as well. And may we daily be dressed with the armor of the Almighty and with the sword of the Spirit. Father, be with the hour to come. Help and bless. And we'll thank you for it. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.